for all it's worth, to the best of our abilities. And in our times of worship, we also understand that God is alive and that His Holy Spirit is in our midst, which means sometimes we have an idea, but God has another idea. And there's something I just come to realize about church again. And especially if you are in a place where you maybe new to the faith, or you moved from one town to another, and you're asking God to add you to a church. You're looking for a home. As people, we often say, you know, I would like a church like this. I would like a church like that. But you know what? It's really not about what I like. It's what God likes. That's what it's about. And He likes it when He can be in control of our meetings. That's honoring to Him. Now that might mix up my plans as the one that often is in charge in front here. That might be a hindrance to me, but it's not about what I like. It's about what God likes. And He likes it to touch us and to work with us and to lead us. And then when we handle the word, it's not about what our culture likes. It's about what God likes. And so as you are on your journey to maybe find a church, look for a healthy church. And we are not the only one in this town. Just want to say that. But don't look for a church that you will like. Look for a church that God will like. Amen. This morning, I'm going to preach maybe the most simple message I can. And we have this word ringing in our ear, simplicity. Who's heard it? It's been around church for the last couple of weeks. Simplicity, simplicity. I'll tell you what. Sometimes I don't like simple questions because it means I must answer yes or no. Okay? Have you seen people in court? Like, did you or did you not? Well, you see, no. Did you? No, so I don't often like simple questions because I can't get myself out of the situation they put me in. Are you with me? Sometimes my wife asks me to do something, which is my job and which I would love to do, and then she says, "Did you do it?" That's a simple question. And like, you know how much I love you. You know that first day I saw you, what it did? No, that was not my question. I just asked. You see, now, sometimes we're like that with the gospel. Isn't that true? You know, if someone preaches, and we have a joke. There was a message we once heard about the four faces of Jesus. And I'm sure there was a good intention in that, but you can't really find it in Scripture. Now, if you ask me a straight question and I can go to the four faces of Jesus, I can get myself out of the simple question you are asking me because I move from that which is clear into the mist and I'm off the hook. Are you with me? Now, there's some basic things that the gospel does, and the great thing about our faith is that it is so clear that the road to salvation, one can attain to it. One can find it, and you can have assurance of salvation. You know, there's many faiths out there, many beliefs where you never know whether you are good enough. You just never know whether you have made the cut. And so people do weird things out there, but in God's mercy, the gospel of Jesus is a simple and a clear road. But that makes the questions it asks very clear, all right? So I'm going to ask a couple of questions this morning. Who of you, I don't know if they still do it, where's the teachers in docentes, Yeliso? You know, with multiple choice in university, when there was like a lot of multiple choice, they had this grid with the right ones. Do they still have that? Do they put the grid over the answers of the student, and then they can quickly see right. You know what I'm talking about? Now, sometimes with our faith, you can take a grid and put it on your heart, okay, to see whether the heart is aligned with the Lord. And what I want to do this morning, I want to come with a grid and offer you an opportunity to see, to think. Gaan jy vir ons 'n liedjie sing, Andre? Okay. So let's do it this morning. Well, just a little bit, still part of a, when Paul came to the Corinthian church, we had this sermon series earlier the year. I thought it was one that spoke well to Hermanus, city to city. You can check it out on YouTube. The Corinthian city was extremely complex. The best debaters in the world, the intermingling of people and faith. And when Paul arrived, he said, you know, when I come to you, brothers, I did not proclaim the testimony of God with lofty speech. I came in simplicity because I want to make sure you get this. And he landed the gospel in a very plain way. He said, I want to preach Jesus and him crucified, almost like bringing a complex community together around the cross. That's what I want to do this morning. Read with me. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. We're in Acts. Explaining to the people who Jesus is. And just before this verse, he says, let the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, at that moment, the crucifixion of Jesus still fresh in the minds of the people, upon preaching that he is the one, the living God, which were crucified, something happened to the hearts of the people. That's the gospel that was preached. Jesus Christ was crucified. He did not come and read a letter. He did not come and make a new law. He came and he died. And some of them could probably still have the images flashing through their mind. And what happened at that moment? Hearts were open. And they were cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What happened to those people as they got it? Those who were cut to the heart, they got it. What was preached to them. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. For all who are far off, even those we prayed for this morning at war in different countries. Isn't it incredible that when we pray here, God can move his hand there? It's the God we serve. For the promise is for you and children of those who are far off. And everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued exhorting them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized. Okay, so the hearts was cut open and they went home. No. There was a response there. And they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending to the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. When I don't have enough time, like often with the first service, I sometimes don't have enough time to make strong points feel softer. So forgive me for that. Is it okay if I get to the bottom line faster? Who says it's okay? Okay, iemand sê is reg, so then ek het Louise aan gesien. So if you've got a problem with anything said, Louis, can we just get you? You can go to Louise, is right. He'll handle it. Go to the connect table. Louis will meet you there. Look, people are different. In the gospel, we've got word ministry and we've got deed ministry. Okay, if one, in one sense you can package the outflow of our faith like this. In the word ministry, we often seek to understand what certain things mean. Why is the scripture saying this? We study words, we study the scripture. We sometimes struggle intellectually with questions being asked to us of the world, our colleagues. And we want to understand so that we can answer them in word. Okay, it's very good, very powerful, very important. And then there's also the deed ministry, where talking does not put food on someone's table, where talking and understanding does not give a lift for a person, a child left without a way to get home. You know, to understand a good argument does not help with it. All right, if a baby gets left next to a bin, understanding the wonderful love of Jesus is one thing. But if that understanding does not get one person to go and pick up that baby, we've got, are you with me? There's trouble. There's word and there's deed ministry. Now often, if we only have the word ministry, now, and now I'm talking not as a church now, more as individuals, once we only become stronger in word ministry, we can become strong, and sometimes there's a power, there's an anointing in when we speak, but we can become fast and careless as we take 100% of our capacity to that which is the word and the intellect. We don't have hands to care. We don't have a heart that bleeds. Are you with me? On the other side, if we only have deed ministry, we can only care, what sometimes happens is we can slip and start to worship mankind. Mankind has a problem. The town has an issue. We can become social focused. I don't want to use the word socialist, but you become social focused. You sometimes lack the edge of giving the answer to the gospel where it's needed. So what do we need? We need both to live together. The one cannot be without the other, because then you carry the dark side of having one. Are you with me? So as a church, we want to be strong in the word. We want to be able to give an answer, but we want to be strong in our city, the deed ministry, as a church. And so some of us will be stronger in the one and others stronger in the other. So together we are stronger, but each one must also take accountability for himself, because you cannot only live in one. Because you will live as in the kingdom of God, no one is handicapped. In the kingdom of God, there's no one with one arm and one leg. Right, now you might be right-handed or left-handed, but there needs to be deed and word ministry in your life. Okay, so if you're naturally drawn to go to the orphanage, to go to the safe house, but you never want to equip yourself to share the gospel, you don't have a weak left hand, you've got no left hand. You need to equip yourself a little bit. Are you with me? And the same is true for the other way around. Now, when we run the grid of the gospel over our hearts, it helps us with that. It helps us to expose where we need to grow. And that is my heart for this morning. So, four things that the gospel does when it works. And there's more. This is only a start. But let's have that. Let's say the multiple choice has got 20 questions. We'll get to 8 or 10 this morning. We'll touch. We'll start to move. Tik net die ou langs jou en sê ons gaan ergens heen. Vra van waar wil jy wees? Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter and the rest of the apostles, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? Can you see that? They were cut to the heart. Something moved. All right. And then they said, what shall we do? Can you see? But where does it start? It starts in the heart. God moves on the heart and he opens it up. He reveals something to these people. It was revealed. It was him. He was the one sent. And we put him on a cross and their hearts were open. And I shared this this idea a couple of weeks ago. There was an atheist scientist that thought the whole world happens here. And then one day the Lord moved on his heart and he learned and he understood that Jesus Christ, and he asked the question, what is the king of the world doing on a cross? And then he realized the king of the world was hanging on his cross. And he said, when I heard about his death in my place, I thought life happens in my head, but it made a cut to my heart. And he became saved. And so, when someone asks Jesus, listen, what is the most important thing? He does not start with doing. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. And there comes the strength. It comes in. Now, love is multidimensional, all right? What it means is love is a commitment, but love also is a feeling. Now, the feeling is fleeting. It goes like this, but to say there's no sense of feeling in love, then you are, yeah, it's a clip, okay? Now, love is not based on feelings. It's based on commitment, but it does have feelings. Isn't that true? I mean, come on, don't tell me when your wife came down the aisle, you felt nothing. You're like, nah, this is some snoopy to gaan. And like, come on. I look at you guys, you are moved. You cry. You put your face in your hands. Why? There's a cut on your heart. You love this woman. Raak jy kwaad vir haar? Ja, sy raak meer kwaad vir jou. Okay, that's true. Love is complex. All right? But I want to run us through the grid. The first thing I want to say this morning is the gospel cuts deep into hearts. That's what it does. Now, some of you all know, there was a band called Nazareth. Who knows what I'm talking about? They sang a song, Love Hurts. Love Hurts. Come on, who remembers that? Yeah. Love Hurts. It does something to us. If you are spending time with God, sometimes it's a discipline. Sometimes it's a duty, okay? But other times it's a delight and your heart opens up. And you're like, Lord, I feel so close to you at this moment. Who has felt that before? Sometimes you come to church and he feels far. Love is complex. Your mind may be somewhere else, but other times you come in and you know about that cut on your heart. It's the cut of love. Who knows what I'm talking about? Sometimes you go to your small group and hulle maak jou kwaad and hulle frustreer jou. As ek nog een verskoning kry, 3 minute voor 6. The coffee is made, everything is here, it breaks my heart. But you know, other times they are there. And I just like, I love these people. What is that? It's the cut of a gospel. Now, I want to hold it before you, hold the grid over your heart. If your heart never senses that love towards him, there's a problem. It's a problem. I cannot move on. He's coming for your heart first. If you're saying, no, you know, I believe this is true, but I never sense his love. I never sense a softness, a warmness. Something wrong. It's a question we need to ask. I'm not saying it's always there, but it is there. Are you with me this morning? Run the grid over your heart. That is what the God, it's a simple question. And now, you know what? It's so important, this, the sense of love. Because when we love him and we know the feeling of his closeness, and we make a decision to sin, and we go 1 degree off, we know about it. We know about it. But when we are cold, we tend to go off course many miles until we get physically hurt, harmed, or we get oppressed by others and we realize we made a mistake. Keep your heart open. Because the direction that love offers is the right way. Loving the Lord is the way. And He helps us with it. He comes on our hearts and He works on our hearts. He's the King of this world. He's the King of our hearts. He will help you. Amen? Run your heart through that grid. Let's go on. I can do this in 10 minutes. What shall we do? Peter, we've got a cut on our hearts. Something is melting in here. What now? What now? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The second thing I want to say, let's run the grid, is the gospel produces a response. Hey, it's simple, man. But it gives me nowhere to hide. What response? Have you been baptized? Sometimes we don't want to ask it like this because we don't want to put you on the spot, but come on. Hey, I'm falling in love with Him. What now? You must be baptized. As a sign that you are found in His death and His resurrection and as a testimony to the world. It's the first response. Run the grid. Now, we want to advance to what lies ahead. But we need to step back. What shall we do? Peter, I fall in love with this man. Be baptized. Okay? We're going to have a baptism the last Sunday of the month. But the whole idea was not to ask the question, are you baptized? There's many responses because as the gospel cuts your heart, it changes your life. So maybe you come in here. I'm sorry for just the example. I'm not thinking of anyone. It's just I want to indicate movement. You come in here looking for answers, but you've never spoken to your dad in 20 years because he left when you needed him there, and now he's trying to reach out to you. But you know if you answer that call, you're going to give him what he wants, and that's your love, and you will not give it. You will rather withhold it because he must feel what you felt. But then the gospel cuts your heart. And you need to respond differently now. You have now been forgiven. You have strayed. And Jesus has come for you. Now you change. You turn. It's like, for 20 years, I've responded. I've not responded to my Father. It's just an example. But now I will respond. Why? Because the gospel now asks of you to change your life. You come in here as a man and you've had it with your wife and you are ready to go. The gospel has something different to say to you. Respond. You turn your life around and you love her. And you do not leave her. The gospel is not only a religion in our heads. It causes deeds to come from us that might be 180 degrees in a different direction to what we were thinking and meditating or going in before we are encountered by it. Now, sometimes as believers, we're in the Lord and we're moving and we're doing great things, but then as we get busy, our faith gets more and more intellectual only and we backslide, okay? We need to come back to allowing the Lord to respond according to His word and will. And it will bring so much life into your life. Like the first time you came and bent your knee before Him, you knew, wow. But over time, you've maybe allowed your heart to become cold. Are you with me this morning? The gospel produces. Are you still responsive? Okay? Are you still getting things to do from Him which you didn't have in mind on Sunday? But by Tuesday, by spending time with the Word and prayer, there's now something that came into your diary because of God's leading. Oh, that's good. I know some of you are organized. You've got every minute of your week planned. Well, I'm telling you, there's someone that's going to disrupt it for you, the Holy Spirit. No, He cannot. Oh, it's a problem there. Calls a response. I'm not the kind of person that visits places like that, that's not what you're becoming. You're going to become that kind of person now. But I'm not the kind of person that goes and helps those kind of people. Well, you haven't been that kind of person, but the gospel calls the response, so you might just be that kind of person now. Are you with me? Is the gospel still helping you to respond? That's what it does. It's deeply countercultural, and it makes war against self-exaltation. It breaks down the walls of where I think I am to not what I like, but what he likes. Run the grid over my life this morning. Please run the grid over your life. The gospel, that's what it does. Okay, the gospel does that. It produces responses. Am I in that? Am I a part of this? This is an invitation to move with the Lord. I'm not the kind of person that goes to small groups. Well, in this church, you're going to be encouraged to be then a different kind of person, okay? They were in one another's homes. Breaking the bread, praying. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, there's a lot in there. So I had to really ask the Lord, just like, what do you want me to touch on this morning? Because that can be taken to so many different areas. But the question I just want to, well, the thing I want to state and then the question I want to ask. Firstly, I just want to state that the gospel puts the word over you. All right? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching is here. Here it is. This is the apostles' teaching. Okay. Now, I'm not touching even on church leaderships. There is leaders today in the fivefold that even though the church has the word, helps the church to see where the edges need to be trimmed. But I'm not going on to leadership now. All I'm saying is the gospel puts the word over you. What that means is, in one sense, what religion does, we see it from the Pharisees, is you put the word under you. So when you come with something you really like, something that's important to your culture and your family, you look at that scripture and you touch it up. You look for arguments to make sure the word fits in with your life. Okay, it's reading into the word what you like. When you are under the word, you change to be in the image of that which God likes. Okay? And so the word becomes an authority over you. Now, the way you know whether you are doing good, this is a tough one for us, I just want to say. I think this might be the toughest one of the three. I'll tell you why. The fact that these people went out, we're not going there this morning, and sold stuff and cared for one another was extremely countercultural. That's why it's in there. Like, who does that? I mean, who on earth puts themselves, their future, their livelihood at stake for what others need today? I mean, you've been planning for 20 years ahead, and now you are literally spending yourself into the stomachs of people that need to eat. I mean, who does that? It's countercultural. It's crazy. But it comes with a strong belief that the provider is God. Now, when the word is over you, it constantly helps you see what in culture has shaping you, and you can actually become countercultural because the word is at work in you. Yeah, but everyone in the town does things this way. Yeah, but not you. Because you see, the word is working over you, which means culture must submit. The culture of God comes over the culture of this world. Are you with me? And that looks different in different places. In Africa, the man is, the temptation is that the man can be worshipped by the home in such a way that he can sit and be the king while the rest of the family maybe struggles, okay? In other places, it's the other way around, but it doesn't matter which culture on the earth we are dealing with. When the kingdom comes and puts the word over us, all cultures must bow and give preference to the word. Okay, so when you say, yeah, but everyone in Hermanus, yeah, I know. But if the word is over you, okay. And so it doesn't mean you get it right always, but what it means is you feel that every now and then. You're like, something here, something in our home that needs to change. Well done. You're on the good road. You're struggling with the word. It's trying to make its way into your life. Very good. So these people came from their previous beliefs and they came under the apostles' teaching. Deconstruct us, reconstruct us according to the word. Everything looks different now. Okay. Battle against old ways, battle against the flesh, battle against culture. The word reigns supreme, God's way. Last thing I want to say, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and as we go on, they were in one another's homes. One more thing that the gospel does is it introduces peculiar new friends. Okay. Now let me just, in the natural, okay, if we just do what's natural to this world, you will be tempted, the way of the world is to connect yourself up, not to connect yourself down, okay? The way, like in your field, in your area of studies, or in your social, the way of the world is invite and be invited by people. In a way, you make connections, you connect yourself up. The way of the kingdom introduces you to peculiar new friends. They come into your home and they cannot connect you up. They just come into your home because of love. And so if you say, but I've never been friends with these kind of people, and now they're in my home, you're doing well. That's what the kingdom does. It brings people together that's different from me, different to you. They earn differently, they look differently, they speak differently. And some of us here are doing very well, but as a church, we can really grow. Are you with me? We can really grow because the gospel does that. Go back to Corinthians. These group wanted to have communion. That group wanted to have community. These group excluded those. And God said, you are using communion in an unlawful manner. You're eating and drinking judgment on yourself because you are secluding yourself from your brothers, which God is bringing in. And so what I want to ask is, how are you doing? Is there some new people popping up in your life? And is there some new people popping into your living room? Is there some new people? Like, you'd say, I never actually would make this friend if it was not for Jesus as common ground. Oh, that's what you want. Go after that. Amen? Oh, I wish we had more time, but we'll stop here. Run it over your life. Put the grid over your heart. Lord, where do I grow here? Grow. Give yourself to growth. Amen? Let's stand this morning and let's finish off. Some of you are thinking, you're not coming back to this church. That's just straight, I pray you'll come back. We want you to be radically changed. We want your family to say, you're not the same person, but in a good way. I want to finish on this. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Well, you've got a friend. And let's be honest, you and I, we were so unlovable to the Lord in our sins. Plotting against him, not looking for him. We are the peculiar friend around God's table. That's this echo. When he opens his door, he doesn't say, okay, you can come in. Even me, even you. What a God we serve. That's why he melts our hearts. That's why we get that cut to the heart and we say, man, how did I get into this position that I am so wonderfully loved? we honor you. Let's just lift our hands to the Savior this morning if you're comfortable with that. Just say, we honor you. Just it's a sign of giving over in this church. This is not about shofar. What? It's not about the name of a church. It's about you. It's about your name. Just pray in the Spirit for a moment and say, Lord, we worship you. We honor you in this place. I want to make a call from my heart, and I don't have time to make it long, but I just want to say, if we can pray for you, you want to give your heart to the Lord. When I dismiss this meeting, myself and some of the leaders of Alan and Jock and Jean-Marie and Pierre and Vian and Kelly, we're just going to be here and we'd love to pray with you. If you would give us the opportunity just to minister his love into your life, and we'd love to pray with you. Maybe if you know him but you've just grown cold on your heart, can we pray for you again that that fountain be opened again? Lord, as we conclude this meeting, I know that your presence goes with us. It's almost like this moment we sense you here, and I just want to hang on to this moment. But as we go out, please go with us, that we may remain in your presence. And I pray that in the mighty name of Jesus, the name which we honor above all else, amen. Amen, everyone. You are formally dismissed. We're going to hang in front here. We want to minister to you. If you've got a prayer request, whatever it is, we'll be here. Thank you so, so much.